We, in our study of 1 Kings, have come to 1 Kings chapter 11. And if you would stand, I want to read in your presence the first 8 verses of 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Melcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord, as David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may be seated. One of my favorite baseball players of all time played on a team that I despised when I was growing up. I hated the team that Fred Carter loves. I hated the Yankees. But there was one player I dearly loved, and his name was Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle was a man from Oklahoma. My grandparents were from Oklahoma. I guess that maybe there was some connection there that I saw. And he was supremely gifted to play baseball. There was nothing on a baseball field that Mickey Mantle could not do. There was nothing that he could not do well. Those of you who know something about baseball know what the term five-tool means. Mickey Mantle was a five-tool baseball player. That means he could run and run fast, that he could throw and throw hard, that he could hit with average and power, and that he could field his position. He was an outstanding baseball player, and he had a Hall of Fame career. But even Mantle himself acknowledged that toward the end of his life, when he had been diagnosed with cancer, when he had gone through the treatment for that particular cancer he'd been diagnosed with, when he was dying, he held a press conference, and he said this. He said, "Do not do as I did." Mantle squandered much of his talent. He had it all, as he acknowledged that God had gifted him. And yet, he spent his time foolishly chasing women and being unfaithful to his wife. He spent his time in bars instead of rehabbing and honing his skills. He spent his time foolishly, and he was not the player he could have been had he been wiser. Mantle was not a Christian man. He had a Christian teammate by the name of Bobby Richardson that played second base for the Yankees. And toward the end of Mantle's life, while Mantle was in the hospital, Bobby Richardson shared the gospel with Mickey Mantle. It was not the first time that that happened. Bobby shared it with him several times. But this time it seems the Lord opened up Mantle's heart, took away the blinders from his eyes, and Mantle professed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and died without fear. If you know anything about Mickey Mantle, you know that Mantle's father died young, in his 40s. And Mantle was afraid that he too would die young. He didn't die until he was like 66 or 67. Mantle squandered much of what was given to him. His life ended, if you will, in tragedy. He wasn't the man he could have been had he made wiser choices. And that is the story of King Solomon. Solomon wasn't gifted to be a baseball player. No, Solomon had greater, far greater blessings than the baseball talent Mickey Mantle had. Solomon was born into nobility. He was the son of King David. He grew up in the royal palace. His father was the sweet singer of Israel, the writer of many of the Psalms that we love and enjoy. Solomon was, by God's appointment, next on the throne. When Solomon finally came to the throne, that coronation of Solomon was met with great joy by the people of Israel. They delighted to have the son of David as their king. Solomon was a famous builder. He built the temple that God would not allow his father to build. He not only built the temple, but he built a great palace for himself. He was a great businessman and increased his wealth through trading with other nations. He had so much gold in his nation, in his possession, in his treasury, that it devalued silver, which was also plentiful. This was a man who had wealth, and he had power, he had status, he had everything. He was a man who, in the beginning of his reign, made one of the wisest choices anyone could ever make. God had offered him the choice of asking for anything that he wanted. And Solomon wisely chose wisdom. Wisdom and understanding, so that he might be that faithful judge of God's people that we read about in Psalm 72. Solomon not only was given the gift of wisdom, and that beyond anyone else in the world, Solomon was also a man who was noted for his godliness. I don't know how impressed you were with Solomon's prayer in chapter 8, but that is an impressive prayer. It is one of the longest and one of the best prayers in the entire Bible. So Solomon was a great man, one of the greatest men who ever lived. And we have been, in the chapters prior to this, been treated to the glory that was Solomon's. As I said last week, it seemed that everything that Solomon touched turned to gold. He was successful in everything he had attempted. God had blessed him super abundantly. And then we come to chapter 11, and did you notice the very first word? It is but. Oh, King Solomon, it goes on to tell us, made some rather unwise choices that resulted in disaster for his kingdom. Solomon was a man blessed by God in every way. But Solomon at the end, or at least toward the end of his life, forfeited all of those blessings and wasted and squandered what God had given to him. The story of Solomon is a cautionary tale. It is a reminder that what happened to Solomon can happen to any one of us. We need to take the words of Paul far more seriously than perhaps we do. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." If a man like Solomon can fall, then Gary Roop can fall, and each one of us can fall as well. What led to Solomon's downfall? Well, obviously, what led to Solomon's downfall was a series of choices that Solomon made. The king loved, it says in our text, many foreign women. Solomon had made a choice in relationship to marriage. And that is that he would be like all the other kings on the earth at that time, because they all had harems. They all had many wives, and they all had many concubines. And so it seems Solomon wanted to be like them. And so he married many foreign women. How many foreign women did he marry? What? Did you see what our text says? He had 700 wives. That's 699 too many. Because Solomon, like all of us who are husbands, are supposed to be one woman men. God created Adam, and he created Eve for Adam. Not Eve, not Mary, and Sue, and Becky, and whoever else. No, one woman for one man. As Jesus said, that was God's intention from the very beginning. But Solomon became a polygamist. He married foreign women. And he knew better, because the word of God, Exodus 34:16, is what is quoted in verse 2, where God said to the children of Israel, and this goes not only for the children of Israel who are not of nobility, this goes for all the children of Israel, including the king. "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you." Why? For this reason, whether it's one or many, surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon loved many foreign women. In chapter 3, we read that in the beginning of Solomon's reign, that Solomon loved God. And the same word for love is used in both places. What does that mean? It means that Solomon, who had a united heart, a heart that loved God, eventually came to the place where he had a divided heart. A heart that loved foreign women, and many of them. He was divided in his affections between the women that he married and the God that he was supposed to serve. We are on the road to spiritual decline and to squandering the blessings that we have been given in Christ by the Lord our God when we, as his people, have a divided heart. Now, it doesn't say in the text that Solomon stopped loving God, that he didn't have any affection whatsoever for God. What it says in the text, and what is implied, is that he, along with that love of God, loved these foreign women. And so, he loved something as much as he loved God. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us, and God said this repeatedly to his people, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Jesus taught that our love of God is supposed to supersede any other loves that we might have, even the love of family, even the love that a husband has for his wife or parents have for their children. The love of God is supposed to supersede those other loves. And the scripture tells us that we are to cling to God. And yet our text says that Solomon clung to these in love. So there is a cleavage in his affection. He has a divided heart. And because his heart is divided, he blatantly disobeys the Word of God by marrying foreign women. And what happened as a result of Saul's polygamy is that, Solomon's polygamy is that Solomon became a polytheist. That is, he worshiped other gods. The warning that had been given in Scripture was a warning that he ignored. And what happened as a result is that, verse 4, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Now, what that means is that Solomon involved himself in the worship of those foreign gods. Gods that were, in God's sight, abomination. And he mentions that in relationship to several of these gods that the wives of Solomon worshipped and that he worshipped as well. He committed idolatry. And it was blatant idolatry. For the text says that, see if I can find it here. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem. That is, on the Mount of Olives. He not only built shrines and temples for the worship of foreign gods, he worshipped himself at those temples. And he did so as he was on that hill east of Jerusalem, looking right at the temple of God. Looking right at that place where God says, "This is where my name will be. This is where I and I alone will be worshipped." And so Solomon was guilty of the most blatant idolatry imaginable. Remember who he is, or who he was. He was a king who loved God. He was a king, a godly man who prayed the prayer of 1 Kings chapter 8. He was a king now who loved foreign women. He was a king now who built temples for foreign gods. I am sure at the encouragement of his wives, he is a king that now involves himself in the worship of foreign gods. And so we read in verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. Those of you who have read through 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles know that that is a phrase that is used repeatedly of the kings that followed after Solomon. You see, Solomon was setting the standard in Israel for evil and for an ungodly reign. And so we read of every king that followed Solomon in the divided kingdom of the north, that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. The kingdom of the south lasted a little longer than the northern kingdom because they had, along with those kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord, they had good kings who did what was right, and who destroyed those high places, which was pleasing to God. So Solomon sets the standard. It is a horrible standard of being a king who, by his idolatry, by building temples and places of worship to foreign gods, was a king who did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Solomon fell, and how great was his fall. Solomon squandered all the blessings that God had given to him. Now, a couple of questions we need to ask and try to answer. One, was Solomon a believer or an unbeliever? Did he die in sin, or did he have a change of heart? Did he repent? And most scholars think that given what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, and given the way the Bible speaks of Solomon in other places, that Solomon did come to his senses and repent of his sins. But the die had been cast. And what was going to happen to the kingdom because of Solomon's sin was going to happen in spite of Solomon's repentance. You see, Solomon's sin not only affected Solomon himself, Solomon's sin affected the entire nation. Because immediately after Solomon's death, what do we have? We have the kingdom splitting in two. You have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And we have people in those kingdoms, particularly and most blatantly in the northern kingdom, that continue the foreign and idolatrous worship that Solomon introduced to the nation. Wow. What a warning to us not to take our blessings and our status as God's covenant people for granted. What a warning it is for us when we are confronted with choices, and we are confronted with choices every day, that we, by God's grace, make the right choices. Because if we make a choice that seems on the face of it to be small to us at the time, that choice may result in other choices that lead us further and further away from God and deeper into sin. And so when we are faced with temptation, we must choose wisely. We must choose, as hard as it may be for us, to do what God tells us we are to do. We are to do what God tells us to do, even if at the moment it doesn't bring us as much pleasure and satisfaction as 700 wives and 300 concubines. We must do the will of God no matter how difficult it is. Because every time we make a bad choice and every time we choose to disobey and sin, we are weakening the foundation of our lives until that foundation crumbles altogether. I couldn't help but, as I was thinking about this, thinking of that game that the kids play when we have family fun night and at the church, you know, it has the little wooden blocks, and you put them all together and you start pulling out, you know, little pieces, and until eventually, you know, you pull the wrong one, the whole thing falls apart. Well, that's what happens when we choose to sin. We're pulling out a little piece, and the more pieces we pull out, the weaker the building gets, and eventually the whole thing collapses. Sin is never, ever to be taken lightly. And the choices that we make day by day, whether we realize it or not, are important choices. And we must choose for God. Solomon made wrong choices. And those wrong choices led to the collapse, eventually, of the kingdom. Not just a divided kingdom, but it led to God's people ending up in exile, and that beautiful temple that Solomon built being destroyed, completely demolished. Everything that was the glory of that kingdom, gone. Where did that start? With Solomon, who did evil and made wrong choices in the sight of the Lord, whose heart was divided. When I think about Solomon's heart being divided, about Solomon having loves that were equal to or greater than the love that he had for God, I think about the church of Ephesus that we read about in Revelation chapter 2, the very first church that we're introduced to. And you remember all the advantages that that church had had. It was established by the great apostle Paul. Paul spent a long time in Ephesus preaching and teaching and discipling and training those people. They knew the Word of God. And yet, when Jesus came and examined that church, he said, I have this against you. One thing, what was it? You have left your first love. You have made choices that have moved you away from loving me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Now, when it comes to Solomon, we need to remember that Solomon did not sin because he felt in some way disappointed by the life that God had given to him. You know, there's some people that fall away from Christ and leave the church because they feel that God doesn't love them. They feel that God has disappointed them. They prayed to God sincerely and repetitively for something that was on their heart, and God didn't answer in the way that they desired. And so they are disappointed, and they end up rejecting God and leaving the church. Solomon can say that because he had been blessed by God in every way and blessed in abundance. Solomon couldn't say, well, I sinned in ignorance. And I didn't know that if I sinned in these ways, what this sin would lead to. Because Solomon knew very well that the blessings he had received, that the blessing that God would lavish upon him and his kingdom was contingent upon his obedience. And God told him that through his father David. God told him that himself. And Solomon acknowledged that in his prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8. So he couldn't say, I don't know any better. He did. And so do you. God has given us light, and we are to walk in that light. God has given us His Word, and we are to walk by that Word. And God has said that if we as His people will do so, not that He will bless us with salvation. He has blessed us with salvation in Christ. But God will bless that obedience. And that God Himself will be satisfied with that heartfelt obedience that was given out of gratitude and thanksgiving for our salvation. I read this past week a sermon by Rob Rayburn preached on this passage. Rob is a pastor of Faith Presbyterian Church in Tacoma, Washington. And Raber wrote this at the end of his sermon. And this is where I will end as well. His divided heart led to a weakened kingdom, and then at last to the death of that kingdom. There is therefore but one lesson that any truly interested reader of this history can take from it. My heart must not be divided toward the Lord, and there is no other way to test the integrity of my loyalty to God than the scrupulousness with which I obey His commandments. Solomon had a divided heart. And that divided heart resulted in disobedience. And that disobedience resulted in disaster for him personally and for the kingdom. Our sins always impact other people if those sins are not repented of with sincerity, and if our lives do not reflect a love for God that is demonstrated by obedience to His commands. And so again, I would remind you that the way to test our loyalty and our love of God, as Rayburn said, is by the scrupulousness with which we obey His commandments. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this episode in Solomon's life is startling. For the man that had the advantages that Solomon had, could do the things that Solomon did, is frightening. For Father, we know the advantages that we have in Christ, and those spiritual blessings that have been given to us. And yet, Father, there are times when our hearts are divided. There are times when we choose unwisely. There are times when our loyalty is to ourselves, to our own feelings, to our own emotions, to our own desires. Father, we pray that by Your word and the sacraments that You would strengthen us. We pray, Father, that we might be diligent in reading the Scripture, that we might be diligent in meditating upon the Scripture. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might be constant in prayer, seeking Your grace, that when we are faced with difficult choices day by day, that we will make the right choices. The choices that are given to us that we should make by Your word. Help us, Father, to cling to You, and help us to love You with all that is within us. And help us, Father, to stand firm and steadfast in the faith, immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.